This episode is brought to you by Dreammakers, an amazing organization that comes alongside youth who have aged out of the foster care system by connecting them to our resources so they can navigate their life with help and support and tangible gifts. Dreammakersproject.org. Thanks to our sponsor, Seminary Now. Seminary Now is an amazing online streaming platform where you can get video resources to help you grow in your faith, from deep theological studies to lessons in social justice and spiritual integration. SeminaryNow.com/cuss and put in cuss30 for a discount for MLA listeners.
You're listening to Managing Leadership Anxiety, Yours and Theirs, a podcast offered in partnership with Missio Alliance. Each episode, we discuss internal and relational pressures, how they block effective leadership, and how we can move through them to a greater health. And now your host, Steve Cuss.
Okay, folks, this is our season finale, which is kind of weird because we don't technically do seasons anymore, but we do take a Christmas break and a summer break, North American summer break. And so this is our last episode until, I think, January 21st. Technically a solo episode with my wife, Lisa.
Hey, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. That's right.
Yeah.
And we're going to light the candle. This is the Capable Life candle, the three-wick candle. And as we do, I'm going to read a poem. I actually sent this out to our email list, so some of our listeners may have already heard it. I'm just so struck by it. Mm-hmm. So this poem is by Richard Beck, and it's called Incarnation. Just as we light the candle, relaxing into God's presence, here's the poem. I arrive to find myself already loved, a forgiveness preceding, exceeding my first crime and my last. A prior mercy, a predestined grace, anticipating my shame, a welcome offered, a healing before the pain. I had imagined it to be my task to close the distance between us, to cross the chasm, scale the height. My fault dictating my duty, though futile and impossible. But I looked up, hearing the angels sing, to find you already there. That'll do.
That will do.
I've had a number of people reply when I sent that out. They were just really struck by it.
Oh, man. I feel like I could hear that one again and again. And I love it because, you know, with attachment, we always say, well, as Kirk Thompson says, we all enter this world looking for someone who's looking for us.
I love that quote.
Oh, but I also love just with Advent and looking with anticipation at that which God has already done.
Yeah.
It's a powerful lens.
Yeah.
To read that.
I confess, I'm weird. I love poetry and I almost never read it. And I can't figure out why that is. I've even bought books of poems and they kind of sit on the shelf. But there's nothing like a poem, like even the way he said, my crime, my first and last crime. I'm like, oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Richard Beck.
Yeah, he is boss.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, are you like that with art as well?
Yeah. But I also think I want to go to an art museum. And then after an hour there, I don't want to be there anymore, but I loved it. It's weird.
Okay, so true confession, at art museums with the kids, I feel like I was that parent who could slip into the kid humor with art and not really get it.
Yeah.
And so then to make it fun, we go through a whole art museum with this whole humorous lens. And it's really my own insecurity, I think, that I don't get art. And so we're doing the Biola Advent,
right?
Some of the days this month of December, which has been so good. But I find myself looking at the art piece and almost at first, if I'm honest, look at an art piece and thought, psh, I could have done that, you know?
I remember you showing me one.
Yes. But then when I look at it and hear the story behind it and then really look at the color, I should have looked up the name of it, but it was the one, it's like this brown rectangle with an orange line cutting through the middle, but the artist took masking tape and then put orange and all different colors that brilliantly divide and unite the rectangle. And it's like, I looked at that. And then, you know, as I'm doing my own Lectio or Visio Divina on it, I was like blown away by, oh my gosh, there's another aspect of God to dwell on the way he can both, you know, unite and the way he separates, which we can go into all of that. But yeah, it's really powerful.
So. I feel like I don't have much, I'm confused. I don't have much artistic skill in me, mm-hmm. but I wish I was an artist. Like, I really wish I could sing in a way that moved people. I feel like my guitar playing is fairly, I don't know, more business than art, maybe. I don't know how to say it, but yeah, I love good art, but yeah, I don't know. So when you showed me that, I was like, yeah, there's no way in the world I could have painted that.
Oh, it was amazing. But yeah. I think the point is that when I slow down and lean into what is there and meaning behind the story behind it, and then what the artist was wanting to communicate, and then I look at the detail, and then I'm like, oh, I want to go to an art museum. Like, then I'm in, and there is, I don't know, there's just this openness that comes with it, which is really fun.
You know what I'm thinking of right now, which is way, like, my brain is jumping off what you're saying. How many people listen to podcasts at 1.5 or 2 times the speed? Do you ever do that? Do you ever speed up? Did you know this is a thing?
I did, but it triggers me to hear people talk that fast.
Me too. I judge those people. I'm like, listen, relax into this thing. And that's part of the poem we read. Yeah. Man, if somebody listened to that at 2-point speed, what I want to do right now is speak really fast so that those people listen to 2 times can't keep up.
Right.
But I guess what we would encourage you to do is maybe hit that back 30 button and go listen to that poem again, because, yeah, it's something.
It's powerful and powerful to envision. I had my eyes closed while you were reading it.
Yes, you did. Hey, so here goes, there went 2023. This is our last episode. We've had a lot happen this year. It's been quite the year. And we just thought it would be fun as we wrap up. This will be a shorter episode, we think, but just to share some lessons that each of us are learning. Mm-hmm. With our company, Capable Life, when we get our staff together, we always want people to share what anxiety source are they working on right now, and then what life-giving habit are they practicing? Because we want to make sure that we are drinking of the water we're offering to others, I guess. That was always really important to me as a pastor. So do you want to start? What are some lessons that you feel like God is teaching you or that you're working on? Mm-hmm. To me, the best ones are those long, slow ones that take a while.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lump in my throat because a new one just came to me. And I think one of the lessons I'm learning is grief takes time.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
We can cut this if you want. No. But grief takes time, and it's both individual and in community. Our oldest, Bryson, just graduated from college this last weekend. So fun. And during the trip, I was having a conversation with one of our kids, and we were talking about that season when your mom passed away.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kid just said, it felt like that time just was rushed, like, so fast. And I realized, oh my gosh, I don't know that I really circled back after we came back to touch on it. And and so this kid was saying, yeah, I don't know that I was ready, but I also felt that. And so we kind of stated, like, it's needed, isn't it, as a family to go back and to grieve together.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, just because this is fresh for me, like this lesson that it's, well, I know this and in the work that I do, the grief has layers. But it's also just never too late. There's an invitation in it for connectedness. And it's never too late, I think, to bring it back up.
Yeah.
And it was a great conversation we shared. And but that's that's a lesson.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we do live in such a hurried culture. And then we just had a lot going on. So we rushed home for Christmas and we had Christmas with mom and dad. Yeah. Then we came back and immediately put our house on the market, sold our house, packed it up. I rushed home to be with mom before she died.
Yes.
You then rushed home. You moved us out of our house and into a house. And then you rushed home to be at mom's funeral.
Well, we moved house and then your mom passed that night, night we moved.
Yeah.
And then, rushed over there. So it was a lot of And that's the way life goes.
Right. Too. I was on a speaking tour. I was actually in Australia with this amazing organization. They took incredible care of me, knowing that Mum was dying or had died at that point. But yeah, so Bryson graduates and he's a nurse and Mum was a nurse, mostly before I was old enough. She was a nurse in my very earliest years, but she loved it. Mm-hmm. And so I was really flooding a lot with Bryson's pinning ceremony, particularly like, oh man, Nan would have loved her and we would have loved to have her there.
Yeah, to pin him, yeah.
Okay, so let's ask you as our friendly neighborhood therapist, for those of us who are uncomfortable with waves of grief, how do we let it wash over us a little bit without feeling like we're going to drown?
I mean, it's a great question. I think more we fear drowning in it and don't realize that actually letting it wash over us will be freeing.
Okay.
So even changing that mentality that what if there is an invitation and what if there's a sense of freedom in letting it wash over us rather than a fear that I'll be out of control with it.
Yeah.
And then just allowing yourself to dip your toe into it, you know, knowing that you can pull your toe back out. And that can look like time in your favorite place outdoors where you could dip your toe into it. It looks like with a journal, maybe a piece of art, maybe listening to music, you know, that puts you back in a time period with whatever it is you're grieving.
Yeah.
But then also the community piece, I think that you can dip your toe into talking about it with somebody else and letting it be something shared rather than something that's just held.
Yeah. Remember before COVID, our church used to do a grief memorial service to the public between Thanksgiving and Christmas, just to recognize that a lot of people at this time of year are heading into Christmas with a empty seat what's interesting is like for some of those people, it's been years and years and years, but there's still grief close to the surface.
And there was power in acknowledging, even though they were all different losses, power in acknowledging it as a community, that there is something to grieve.
I remember one year we asked one of our favorite pastors in town, Kim Scadam, to come and speak, and he had very recently lost a grandson. And he just blubbered his way through the message. And I remember afterwards he told me, he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. I was like, no, that actually is exactly what we needed.
The most healing thing because it gave
amazing.
Permission.
Yeah.
So good.
Okay. So that's one lesson. I'll take a turn.
Yeah.
Probably in turn the conversation, I'm sure. Okay. Two related things for me in one lesson. I've been so surprised at how long it takes an idea to cook down to its essence. Like I have an idea. I always have all these ideas. But by the time they get really useful to another person, I've had to think about it so much.
That you're over it.
No. I mean, to get it to where it's good. To where like, so currently my tool in the next book coming out, put yourself on your conscious list of relationships. I know that that tool is going to change lives, but I'm still teaching it in workshops and it's not going great. But I know I just have to keep teaching it so I can hear it and refine it and then it'll be great. Like the life-giving list is one of the most powerful tools and one of the simplest. This tool, put yourself on your conscious list. I know it's going to get there, but I was doing a workshop last week and I Jimmy Carnes was with me and I told Jimmy, I said, watch this. I'm going to teach this. It's not going to be very good. And that turned out to be the case. The people were like, huh, whatever. But I don't know how else to do it. I just have to keep trying it. So that's one lesson is how long an idea takes to cook down. I have to keep thinking about it, writing it, editing it, saying it. And then months later, it's now a powerful tool for people.
I mean, I love that because I feel like our assumption is that if it's a good tool, it should be presented almost perfectly right away.
Right.
And that there's a process in even how to use the tools, how to present them in a way where other people can grip them. And yeah, I love that.
Right. And I have a very high standard for myself when I speak. And so willfully teaching something I'm still figuring out, it takes some brave practice for me.
Yeah.
So then related to that, this is a quick one, but man, since being a pastor, now that I'm doing this work, how to manage a long project versus weekly deadlines. You see me struggle with just navigating my calendar. So today I signed up for Notion. Yeah, Notion. So I'm ditching Evernote And then Notion is the all-in-one solution for your calendar, your project management, and your ideas. And so over Christmas break, I'm going to research how to use it and try to wrangle my schedule because I've got all of these long game projects I need to do.
And you want to get your mind around reality and expectations with it.
And just how, like, okay, maybe that project's going to take 200 hours. How do I spend 2 hours today? And what? I just spend so much of my time staring at a screen, not knowing how to begin.
That makes me anxious.
Further it, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that's a lesson for me. Do you have another one?
So good. I think something I've run into with myself that I haven't been able to put words to is stepping outside of my comfort zone, probably more in front of people, like talking, speaking, presenting, creating products.
Yeah.
I realized one of the things that holds me back is that I am afraid of looking bad. And I'm afraid, I think, of my own judgment more than I am maybe of any, I don't know if that's true. But anyway, I have found myself being really resistant to creating things and speaking and realized it's just not about that it is about being obedient to God and let him worry about, you know, what looks good or what looks bad or
blame God. You got me into this. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's been really freeing. So I've kind of decided that I will say yes, you know, to whatever is before me and just trust the process in it, that there's going to be lots to learn. Even when you mess up, it's not the end. And honestly, some people need to see a mess up too, you know, like even that is freeing and God uses. And so, yeah, I think that's just been, I'm still there and on that journey, but it's been fun to put words to another way that I run into myself.
It's been amazing. If we're calling this brave practice, it's been amazing to watch you in this brave practice. So you publicly, you've told our family, you've told our kids, I'm saying yes to God. Mm-hmm. And suddenly all of these opportunities are coming in. You've spoken more in the last few months than you have in years.
Yeah, probably.
And then I got a request to speak from an organization that knows me as a professional speaker. And we're going to this event together. And they said to me, oh, why don't you and Lisa do one of these events together? I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know anything about your yes to God. And so here we are. We're going to do a breakout together. It's going to be super fun.
Yeah, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he?
Man, he does.
Yep.
My final lesson, and then we'll move on to a kind of our next section of the podcast. Man, I have been really convicted about how much I worry about future and well-being and financial security. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, like, God is really good to me, and then I don't believe he will be in the future. And I used to think it was a lack of faith. I think, to be fair to myself, it's more that I don't believe God owes us anything.
Yes.
And I'm always afraid of being presumptuous. But what's happening is I'm then putting myself under the gun of not trusting God, I think. So as recently as yesterday, I was on the Zoom call with Chris, our operations director. She runs all of my travel, and we were looking at my speaking schedule together. And she told me, it was a wonderful rebuke. She said, I just want to remind you, this is the time of year that you freak out about the speaking calendar. And she said, and you're booked solid till April. Like,
I love Chris.
Right. Like, we have no more room January, February, March. So I was like, I receive that. And she was right. Like, it's just part of my natural cycle.
And so what happens in you when you heard those words?
I mean, I think the last couple of weeks I've really been actively trusting God with it. So I receive those words, and also it's complicated for me because we're only 2 years into this, and I just know the nature of building an organization takes a lot of hustle in the first 5 to 7 years. So I'm trying to hold both.
Yeah, hold the both and.
Yeah, and you've been listening to me this week talking about big concepts of things I wonder if I need to be thinking about. And so it's somehow doing that work and trusting God with the results, I guess. Very imperfect.
Yeah, we're learning our own family system and rules with building this as well, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Folks, I went to seminary in the 1990s, and in many ways it formed and changed my life in ways that I'm still benefiting from today. One of the most powerful things for me was the way it helped me navigate scripture and make sense of it and get meaning out of it, but also the way it massively expanded my worldview. It's like it gave me more tools in my faith tool belt. What's amazing now in the 2000s, in the 21st century, is you don't have to go to seminary. There's an online streaming platform called Seminary Now, and some of those scholars that I read in books are now available to you and I in these amazing video courses. You can go to seminarynow.com/cuss and put in CUSS30 for a special Managing Leadership Anxiety discount. Something that's been really fun for us is we've always wanted to adopt an organization and share some of our resources with them. And this year we've decided to adopt Dreammakers. Dreammakers, an amazing group. We've had them on the podcast as guests, and we've been talking about them briefly. But for those who are not familiar with them, in short, they come alongside people in foster care once they've aged out of the system. So they turn 18, and Dreammakers really come alongside them because they have nobody. They have no family. They have no resources, and really helps set them up into adulthood. You and I got to go to their fundraising banquet this year. Maybe just tell us about that.
Oh my gosh. It was first of all, a dreamy setting set out in the country with a farmhouse table out on the lawn. And then one of the aged out of the system foster youth was the main chef for the evening. So he is open cooking on an open fire for everybody to see and hors d'oeuvres, and then was even managing people around just
right,
to help
him. He had a whole team.
Yeah, and he is a chef, so it was just fun to see him doing his thing and having the resources to be able to do it. So I think from the beginning to end, we just got to experience the giftedness and the expertise and, just got a glimpse into the way these youth are feeling loved and seen by this organization and then are like moving in to impact the world. And that was the fun part is I think three of them ended up talking that night and shared their stories, but also shared their dreams and were real honest about stepping into school and a first semester that didn't work out, but in the lesson of don't give up and going back and seeing what they had achieved and just feeling the support and some of them finding God in the midst of it. It's a powerful ministry.
It's an amazing organization. And as is like some of the best Christian organizations often employ the very people they're reaching.
Yes.
That's Dreammakers as well. A lot of the people on staff have their own foster journey experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's run by our dear friends, Julie Mavis, and then her husband, Brian. Both of them have been on the podcast before. Yeah, Brian and Julie started America's Kids Belong, and now Julie's running Dreammakers. So we're thrilled to partner with them. So listen, if you're in North America, you can go to dreammakersproject.org, especially if you're looking to make a difference with your end of year giving. Mm-hmm. But we were also wrestling with how do we encourage our global audience? Because we're in something like 15 countries where we have, you know, hundreds of listeners, not just dozens.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not make sense if you're in another country to support an American foster. What might we say to somebody who wants to make a difference in their country?
I mean, yeah, just even looking around with that aspect in mind, what might already be in existence for youth that are just beginning adulthood that you can join in on to support.
Yeah. So dreammakersproject.org. For our North American listeners, and then for our global audience, maybe look into what is going on for kids being aged out of foster care and see how you can be a part of it.
And when you go in to give, don't be alarmed when you see that all of the dreams have been fulfilled, which is actually amazing.
Yeah, for now.
For now, all of them have been fulfilled. There's still an area to give because they have some pretty big plans about the ways that they would like to fund opportunities for these youth coming up.
Great. DreammakersProject.org. Okay.
Careful.
Great. Let's talk about 2024 plans. We have so many plans in 2024. In no particular order, my next published book comes out May 28th.
Woohoo!
Yeah, boy, that's been a journey. yesterday the publisher sent me the copy to send to endorsers. Here's the thing I love about my publisher, Zondervan. When they said, hey, we're going to need endorsements, typically what a publisher wants is either famous people or people with a platform to endorse it, right? So we can help spread the word. And I said, yeah, I would love to reach out to some of those folks. I happen to know some of those folks. But wouldn't it be neat if people who have been with me at our church for 15, almost 20 years would endorse it as well? And Zondervan's like, we love that idea. So we're sending it to Tom, Lene, Jimmy, and Renee, two elders who hired me, who saw me grow up, and then two staff members. And we're saying, hey, would you?
Who also saw you grow up.
Saw me grow up, goodness me. And we're just asking them, would you write an endorsement? So that's,
I love that.
Yeah. Powerful. So for podcast listeners, I know we're all chomping at the bit. Every day people wake up, when's Steve's book coming out? We know that's how it works. May 28th is when it releases, and we will be inviting people to help with a launch. But that's probably more like closer to April. So
yeah, more details to come.
We'll be in touch with that. Yeah. But also, you and I, starting in January, are going to start to write a book together.
First time.
Co-authoring.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, a book, basically an anxiety primer for the workplace and home place. What do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole goal is to demystify the impact of trauma or different kinds of anxieties, panic, the difference between a panic attack and panic disorder, look at, you know, depression, you know, how do you know when someone's really showing up with depression? When is somebody just down, you know? So we're trying to demystify some of these things so that we can read each other better, not spin so much, but also not that we then come in and serve as professionals in the workplace, but just that there's some tangible things that maybe we know what to do in that space in between, or conversations that we know to have for further steps and help.
Yeah. We get asked quite often if we have a non-faith-based resource, and we really don't right now. We're working on one that'll be out soon, but this book is really designed to be not faith overt, so that those of you who are looking for something for the marketplace, and then, yeah, we want to help you with the Capable Life tools, but then way more, really, not just like demystify, but also one of the things I'm excited about is we're going to kind of let people into the therapy room a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does a counselor actually do for trauma? What does a counselor do for, like, I don't know, OCD, different things like this? Mm-hmm. Not so that the manager at work can do that, but so that they can help encourage their employees. So.
Right. Just have a different scope of help that's out there.
Yeah.
And not feel just trapped.
Yep. So we're hoping to write it and release it next year. We'll see. This one we think will be self-published. So that's a shorter time frame. But
yeah. We're trying to figure out what timing really looks like with that.
So. Right. How long does it take and so on.
Yep.
Okay. Another thing for 2024, you know, most people listening to this are listening right up to Christmas. But one of the things we want to encourage you to do is just lift your head a little bit and look to 2024 and what would it look like to give yourself the gift of well-being in 2024? You know, a lot of leaders we work with, they are generally low on their conscious list of relationships. So we're encouraging people, what if you actually give yourself the gift of well-being, which will then bless your people? And one of the, we're going to give two ways to do it. One of them is just participating in an intensive. There are all kinds of organizations that do amazing intensives. I was just with an organization last week where a couple of their staff went to on-site in Nashville. Yes. Fantastic organization. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about our intensives, but what we're really proposing is consider a intensive. Now, God does unique work in temporary space. So when you set aside a week or a couple of weeks to get away, really there can be quite a lot of work done. So you do intensives one-on-one with people. Just tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I offer what I call soul care intensives. And usually people that are interested in this are running into themselves again and again in a certain way or a certain part of themselves, or have been able to manage some pain that they know they have from wounded experiences or traumatic experiences in the past, but it's gotten to the point where they can't contain it anymore. And so they're experiencing more reactivity. And sometimes alongside that, there's faith questions, but there is also a deep desire to dig in and to be well, kind of like a fatigue of not this again. And so they come out to Colorado, and we spend about 15 hours over 5 days, about 3 to 4 hours per day. And we dive in and we do some, I offer trauma processing through a variety of different ways. We weave in faith because that's often such a, truly such a healing aspect when we can weave our questions about who God is, where is he, even bring him into the healing of past times in our life. And it's just honestly been a phenomenal honor, I guess, for me to sit back and watch healing take place in a way that I could never do. But God, in his graciousness, in his imagery, in his reminders, puts timing and words together as only he can. So anyway, that happens during the mornings of our time together. And then the afternoon and evening is yours to plan. And so usually it's focused on play or anything life-giving. And we also ask for just set aside time for grief to allow it to come. But it's, been phenomenal experiences so far.
Yeah. So structured time with you in the morning and then unstructured time in the afternoon and evening. And the responses that have come back from people is phenomenal, like transformed. They feel transformed. Great. So Lisa does these individual, this is really for one person. And then Capable Life, we do intensives for groups. You can come as an individual, we'll put you in a cohort, typically 4, 8, or 12 people at a time.
We've loved having the groups in.
Super fun.
Yeah. So fun to talk, share. There's just a depth that happens when you're in a home and get to talking, and it's, kind of like more shared in a living room, you know?
Yeah. So we do some of them in our house, and then once in a while we'll pick a fun destination and do it there. And unlike Lisa's, which is 3 or 4 hours a day, these are typically all day. Mm-hmm. We actually start with a long, slow dinner. So we'll cook you a meal. We provide lunches every day.
Get the smoker out for the
meat. Yeah, smoke some meat, some brisket and ribs. But then we are generally like, 8:30-ish to 4-ish every day. And then we do have some recreation time in there. But it's a bit more work than yours are. But your work is oftentimes a bit more intensive than ours are.
It's longer hours, I think is the better way to say it.
Longer hours, that's probably good. So you can go to capablelife.com if you want to sign up for or even just inquire about Lisa's or our Capable Life intensives. Also, the fun thing about Capable Life, we still get your expertise. You come and teach. You're at most of the meals, but you come and teach as well. But you also get to meet some of our great coaches that come in and help us.
And the groups that have come build such a connection, which has been fun to see.
And then they mail us candles afterwards.
Yeah.
So lots of benefit there.
Yes.
Okay. So that's intensives. And again, listen, folks, whether it's our intensives, why don't you think about setting aside, it's often a significant investment of time and money to set aside a week to have a breakthrough, really to connect with other people and have a breakthrough. And then the other offering we have is our Capable Life online membership and community. And it's self-paced, it's brief videos, it's Zooms with a coach. I just wrapped up the Zooms yesterday. So much fun. I really enjoy those. Next year, we're looking at offering 4 modules, putting some new modules up there. I'll be putting modules up based on my next book. But we also do these masterclasses where we really go deep in a topic. And one of those topics we're going to tackle next year is trauma. Mm-hmm. We're going to actually do a masterclass. One of the things I've really marveled at is I've gotten to watch you teach. If you are in relationship with someone who's traumatized, what can you do for your friend or your spouse? Yeah. And that's part of what we'll cover with the masterclass as well.
Yeah, it's important for marriages, for families, for the workplace. Just even understanding the science of how we work and how our bodies follow and how we navigate meaning made.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's 2024, big plans, lots going on there. And then our final plan in 2024, we kind of hinted at this a few weeks ago, but our podcast is moving on to Christianity Today. So those of you who are familiar with Mike Cosper and his amazing work, he's such an artist with his podcast.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's bringing our podcast into the fold, and we're changing the name of the podcast. So we're about to announce the name. I know.
I feel like we need a drum roll.
Well, everyone, every day, I mean, we're getting thousands of emails. What's the new name?
Yeah. Who will you be?
Yeah. So we'll announce that right now before we end. But I just say logistically, there's nothing you as the listener need to do different. The podcast will show up exactly where it is now, whatever podcast app you use to subscribe. But it is helpful to subscribe. So two things I'll say, and then we'll announce the name. Number one, it really helps us if you are willing to leave a review. We barely ever ask our listeners to do anything for us, but we are going to ask you at the end of the year, if this podcast has helped you, would you tell people about it in some kind of review? Because I'm not very good with algorithms, but somehow that actually helps raise the awareness for others.
Yeah, the reviews help spread.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. So that'd be great. And then the second thing to know is just make sure you subscribe, and that way you'll be getting it. So we'll be back January 21st. And do you want to announce our new name?
It's all you.
Oh, it's going to be called Being Human with Steve Cuss. Being Human with Steve Cuss. This raises questions for you.
Well, it does. Being Human with Steve Cuss, I mean, does that indicate that you are not human?
Right.
If you're not human, then are you an alien?
I am technically an alien.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
A foreigner.
Yes, yeah. I am a foreigner, or what the Bible calls an alien.
I actually love the title, but yes, just the ending of it with Steve Cuss.
We're like, that's feels like an insult. But Being Human with Steve Cuss, I love the name too, because we needed a title that isn't as directly tied to my first book. Mm-hmm. I'll probably be writing more books. We've got Capable Life now. And our whole passion on this podcast is a human-sized leadership and a human-sized faith. So we will still be bringing on guests. I submitted some really exciting inquiries this week for our guests next year. We will still be chasing great guests, and we will still be speaking to leaders, but we are expanding our scope to just a human-sized leadership and a human-sized faith. Mm-hmm. And so Being Human with Steve Cuss.
Totally works.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, hey, everyone, thank you so much for your support. We tease about, you know, you're all waking up waiting. We know that's not the case. But listen, many of you have gone out of your way to communicate and share your encouragement. We greatly appreciate your support. Mm-hmm. We look forward to being back in 2024.
We sure do. Merry Christmas, everyone.
For more resources, visit stevecusswords.com or missyoualliance.org. For more resources, visit stevecusswords.com or missyoualliance.org.